around the world. The Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Good evening, friends. This is Pastor David Langford. As always, we'd like to welcome you today to this edition of the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. We welcome you today. We pray that God's grace is overflowing in your cup, running out into your saucer. You're getting a saucer blessing from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Before we get into the depth of our program today, I want to make an announcement. The Authority Evangelism Discipleship Gathering. You'll find all the needed information at www.seedtimeharvest.net. Seedtimeharvest.net. That's October the 28th, 29th, and 30th. Pastor Prophet Scott Lathrop, Reverend Colonel, and Pastor David Langford will be there. Pastor Nick Serban is hosting the conference at 813 Oak Meadow Drive, Franklin, Tennessee. If you need that zip, it's 37024. But I encourage you to go to seedtimeharvest.net. Seedtimeharvest.net and get all the needed information there. The Colonel is going to help you navigate, and hopefully we would love to see many of you there since we were not at Knoxville. And I'd love to meet many of you and love to pray with you and to preach the Word of God into you. Not preach at you or to you, but get it in you. Because if I can get the Word of God into your life, it will truly have a great impact upon you. Again, we welcome you today. I trust and I pray that your cup is filled and full and running over with the grace of God. Before we get in today's message, a very sobering thought: the problem with telling the truth. The truth is the only thing that sets men free. But when people that are godly tell the truth, there sometimes can be consequences that one does not anticipate. But it does not negate the fact of our loyalty in preaching the truth. But I want to play one of my favorite songs today by the Crabb Family years ago, simply entitled, "He Came Looking for Me." And that is a fact. I was the one that was lost. I was in sin. I was backslidden, drifted profusely away from God, but He came looking for me, and I'm so glad He did not discard me, neither did He write me off.
Desperate cry, rain.
Yes, my friend, he came looking for us. We were lost. We needed to be found. And he came and he found us, steeped, grossly steeped in sin. He found us. But I'm so glad he did more than find us. He redeemed us with his loving kindness. Amen. I want to go today to the book of Matthew, chapter 14, beginning at verse 1. At that time, Herod, the tetrarch, heard of the fame of Jesus and said unto his servants, "This is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him." For Herod had laid hold on John and bound him, and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John said unto him, "It is not lawful for thee to have her." And when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude, because they counted him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. Whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. And she, being before instructed of her mother, said, "Give me here John the Baptist head in a charger." And the king was sorry, nevertheless, for the oath's sake. And them which sat with him at meat, he commanded it be given her. And he sent and beheaded John in the prison. And his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother. And his disciples came and took up the body and buried it, and went and told Jesus. I want to use for a subject today the problem with telling the truth. The problem with telling the truth. Herod was the tetrarch and was ruling a fourth part of that portion of Palestine and Israel. Herod was a lustful, ungodly, wicked man. John the Baptist was a godly, a righteous man, desirous, according to Matthew 3, when Jesus admonished him that we must fulfill all righteousness that the scriptures might come to fruition. John, the Bible tells us, in his conception, he was filled with the Spirit from his mother's womb. No, he wasn't baptized, but he was filled with the Spirit of God from his mother's womb. You see, John's problem was he told the truth. It is amazing how in this very vile, wicked, and salacious, degraded, debased hour, a very nefarious hour, that when people who unashamedly tell the truth, they are castigated to no end. Never before has the world witnessed the lies and the lying that are perpetrated daily from every portion of our society. We have lying preachers. We have lying attorneys. We have lying doctors. We have lying senators. We have lying congressmen. We certainly have a lying president. John said in 1 John 5:19, "And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness." I mean, lying, which is wickedness, has become absolutely rampant in this world. You see, all lies come from Satan. See? Now, I know for the most part, the word lie here in the Greek means to lay down. But it can also mean to lie against or to oppose the truth. And thus the whole world lieth in wickedness. Regretfully, America and many today no longer have convictions. Lying does not bother them. They lie habitually, systemically, constantly about everything. This validates, authenticates that men do not have a God consciousness. Men that can lie with ease, no remorse, no conviction, something has happened to the mechanism in their consciousness towards God. I know what that is. It's a reprobate mind. Romans 1 and 28, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Lying is the personification of deception. The serpent beguiled Eve. 2 Corinthians 11:3. But I fear lest that by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So that your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Satan wants to corrupt your mind. Satan wants to corrupt your mind. 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Satan blinds and Satan corrupts. He does this through lying. John 8:44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Satan is a liar, and so are his emissaries. Everyone that lives a life of a lie is of Satan, their father. Romans 3:4, let God be true, but every man a liar. No matter what is said or done, in the end, God is true. God is true. Psalms 119, verse 160. Thy word was true in the beginning. You can go all the way back to the beginning. And from the very beginning, God's word has always been true. Let every man be a liar. But God is truth. John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The personification of truth is in the Word of God. John the Baptist told the truth. Preachers today are failing the church and the nation miserably, and failing to tell people the truth. We are not for sale here at the Voice of Evangelism. We preach uncompromisingly in season and out of season. We reprove and we rebuke and we exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. We do not lessen, mitigate, or water down the word of the living God. We preach it as purely as we possibly can without contaminating God's word. I've often said I am amazed at how God uses flawed men to preach a perfect gospel. David Lankford is by no means perfect. If you question that, ask my wife. She'll tell you I'm not perfect. Yet God suffers me to preach a perfect, pure, unadulterated word. John the Baptist was not embracing political correctness when he told Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother-in-law Philip's wife." Telling the truth will get you in trouble with men, but it will keep you pure and holy and righteous before the Lord God of Abraham. You see, John the Baptist was not politically correct. He did not care whether you liked him, whether you embraced him. His pockets were not loaded with filthy money and filthy lucre, but he was godly and pure and a just man, meaning he kept the law. I would to God preachers would become just and honest and pure and undefiled from this world and money. I'm telling you, money, as Paul said, 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. The word erred there in the Greek means they have been seduced from the faith. They have been seduced from the faith. Money will seduce you. Money will lure you. Money will captivate you. That's why people struggle to pay their tithes and give offerings. They can't trust God. They can't believe God. They can't embrace God. Because they fear they won't have enough. So they rob God. Herod, because John the Baptist preached a pure, unadulterated word, bound him, put him in prison. For Herodias, his purported wife, which was really Philip's wife, Herod's brother, which was unjust and unlawful for him to have. It was the personification of adultery. You would be amazed at the emails and the letters I get of people who are questioning their lawful marriage now that their eyes are open to the truth. Let me pause here for just a moment. I don't care if you married and divorced 50 times while you were in sin. God forgives that. It's when you are a professing, blood-bought, born-again child of God that God condemns that sin in your life. And you say, well, I'm going to divorce anyway. We can't get along. I don't love her. She doesn't love me, etc., etc., etc. God's going to hold you accountable if you divorce in the light of Christ and then go and remarry. You say, that's pretty plain, Pastor. Do you realize the scripture text I'm reading? Matthew Matthew 14:4, for John said unto him, it is not lawful for thee to have her. Now, I don't know all the circumstances, all the situations there. All I can say is what the scripture says. John the Baptist knew it was not lawful, it was not godly, it was not righteous. It's not lawful. Some theologians say it was his niece and his brother's wife. So there's a potentiality there of an ancestral relationship. I don't know. I'm not that deep of a theologian to go dig all that up. Some have purported that in theological apologetics. But whatever the case was, John said, it is not lawful for thee to have her. Marriage is a sacred communion that God Almighty instituted in the Garden of Eden. It's not to be played with, toyed with, lightly, with contempt and with disrespect. Therefore, Hebrews 13:4 says, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. I thank God all the time. While I was in sin, that I never married. There may have been possibly two occasions I had considered a couple girls I was dating while I was in sin. But God was gracious and protected me. He knew the plans he had for my life were not evil, but they were good to an expected end. So I give him all the attribution, all the credit for protecting me, even while I was in sin. John the Baptist refused to be politically correct. He refused to be bought. He refused to allow society to redirect his convictions. I don't care what the Supreme Court justices do. Same-sex marriage is going to hell. People can change the Constitution, but you're not going to change the Word of the Living God. You see, when preachers preach the purity of God's Word, suddenly they become people's enemies. I've been castigated because people say, well, if you ask Pastor Lankford a question, all he's going to do is give you the Bible. That's right. In the end, I have no authority. In the end, only God Almighty is the supreme judge of all humanity, not David Lankford. It doesn't matter what I think or I feel. Let me tell you what God's word says, and you take it up with God, not take it up with men. You see, that's the problem with America. We have all these buffoons, these idiots, who never bother to incorporate God Almighty in their consciences when they're making great decisions that will affect the entirety of a nation. These Supreme Court justices, God have mercy on their souls. Because if they do not repent and get right with God, they will be damned, who advocate and appropriate these things that morally are totally against God's word. I must admit, I had an element of consciousness of God even when I was in a sinner. While I was living in sin, there were things I just wouldn't do. Not these people. That's how you know they have a reprobate mind. Psalms 10, verse 4, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all of his thoughts. They never incorporate God in their thought process whatsoever. None. You need to be thankful that when you ask me a question, I give you Bible. These idiots that pastor these mega churches will not give you the Bible because they cannot preach a pure, unadulterated word and still possess a mega church. They will not preach against fornication, adultery, sodomy, drunkenness, lying, cheating, stealing, embezzling, extorting. They won't preach against sin. You know why? Their church is rotten to the core because it's full of sin. I don't care if your church runs 50,000 on Sunday morning. That doesn't mean God is in your midst. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. You've heard me say it time and time and time again. When you read the word many in the Word of God, more times than not, it has a negative connotation, a negative application, a negative implication. Not good, but bad, evil. John said to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother Philip's wife. Then the Bible says, and when he, Herod, would have put him to death, he feared the multitude because they counted him as a prophet. He lived in abject conviction, perpetual conviction. Why? Because John told him the truth. Conviction convinces a man or a woman that they are wrong. Now, some people, because of their conscience being so corrupt and vile, a jury can convict a person of a crime, and that person says, but I'm still innocent. Now, there are times we know that to be true. It's been adjudicated by DNA. But I'm talking about like Bill Clinton, who stuck that crooked, bony finger in the face of America and said, I did not have sex with that woman. He would forever tell you he's being lied upon. But the evidence told a different story. You see, that's how you know people have lost their God consciousness. They will keep on. His anger, his indignation. I'll never forget as he was in the White House in that news conference and that snarl look on his face. And he bombed an aspirin factory either in India or Pakistan. I don't remember which one. To distract the attention from the hearings. But at the end of the day, Bubba Slick Willie said, well, I had an inappropriate relationship. And they wonder why people do not believe them when they speak. I want to tell you, I want to see God move in this nation. I pray that God would give me tens of thousands of souls. I refuse to capitulate. I could refuse to give in because the battle is the Lord's. God does not lose battles. God does not lose. He never does lose. He only loses, and that's really a contradictory statement, but he said as concerning Judas Iscariot, I have lost none but one, the son of perdition, Judas Iscariot. In the 17th chapter of the book of John, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane praying, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. God does not lose. Men lose, not God. Judas lost, because he went and he hanged himself. Herod was tormented by the truth. And he thought somehow putting John the Baptist in prison would negate the truth. 2 Timothy 2:9, Paul said, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. You may put John the Baptist in prison, but you cannot bind the word of the Lord. You may put Paul the apostle in prison, but you can't bind the word of the Lord. You may put the apostle Peter in prison, but you cannot bind the word of the Lord. You may put John the Revelator on the Isle of Patmos, but you cannot bind the word of God. You see, men want to stamp out the word of God. They want to stamp out the truth. But God always has his messengers full of his word, full of his spirit, uncompromised. And they're going to preach no matter what comes or goes. I want you to notice, for Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. You could put all the people you want to in prison. It does not change the truth. He was still an adulterer. He was going to put John the Baptist to death. Initially, but he had fear because the people of God counted him as a prophet. You see the strategy and the stratagem of politicians, crooked Hillary, crooked Obama, all these people are crooked. I don't need to tell you that, they're all crooked. I mean, we as Christians grapple to walk the walk and talk the talk. These people aren't even attempting to walk in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. They don't even try to walk it. I heard Hillary Clinton make one of the most, how do I say this? Said she remembered her dad, who was a World War II veteran, praying, kneeling beside his bed at night. My God. She may have a remembrance, but she has no conviction. She does not do what that man did. No, she went after Saul Alinsky and that vile, wicked, corrupted crowd. That woman personifies evil. She'll be 69 years old, October the 26th. I said, God, just go ahead and take her out a year early. She'll be 70 next year, 70, if by reason of strength, 80. Let me tell you, you say, well, that's pretty harsh, that's pretty crass. Let me tell you, there comes a time when God says enough is enough. The dogs ate Jezebel, but they wouldn't eat her hands. The Bible is full of vile, evil women. I mean evil women. That's not a strike against any woman today. You're a godly woman. God bless you. But the woman, Paul said, was deceived. But Paul said, Adam transgressed. First Timothy 2:13 and 14, for Adam was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in transgressing, or in the transgression, in transgressing against God. There's something duplicitous about women when they get in authority or close proximity to authority, how they somehow are seduced by lying spirits to try to control a situation, just like Jezebel. Herodias was determined to control the situation. And Satan planted evil seeds in her heart because Herod was not going to kill him. Now listen to me closely. Herod bound him, put him in prison because John the Baptist told him, Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother Philip's wife. He would have put him to death, but he feared the multitudes because the people counted him to be a prophet. So he had an element of fear in doing this evil act, but not Herodias, his adulterous wife. She did not have any such conviction. So when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias, her name historically is called Salome, she danced before the king, and it pleased Herod greatly. No doubt it was very sensual. No doubt it was salacious, sexual in its content and context. And because he was moved, we'll stay very discreet today in our descriptions, by her dancing, he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. This erotic dance stimulated his carnality, his Adamic nature to the degree he makes an oath. Don't you think Satan does not plot and plan to continually be in a mode of destruction and destroying everything that he can wherever he goes? None of us have a true comprehension of Satan's plots and the chicanery. And I don't mean to be ugly here, but there's something about Satan seducing women and getting them to go and do evil. Potiphar's wife laid hold of Joseph. She tried to rape him, but he fled out of his garment. And then she turned the tables and the tide, and she lied on the man of God and said, he tried to rape me. Lot's wife. We don't even know the woman's name. Jesus just said in Luke 17:32, remember Lot's wife. She was deceived. Genesis 19:26, and she looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. I could go on. I could go on, especially in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, there are a plethora of evil women who did things that were just the personification of evil and wickedness. There's just something underlying there that is sad and profoundly tragic. Then there are those like Hannah, who laid before God. Those like Esther, for a time such as this, fasted and prayed and moved the heart of God. Rahab the harlot, she hid the spies because of her faith in Jehovah. God spared her household. Not all of them are evil. But there's something seductive about once a woman turns evil, how sinister and vile things can become and get grossly out of control. So he promised Salome with an oath whatsoever she would ask. And she, being before instructed of her mother, there was a collaboration. Somehow, now I don't know, I was not there, but somehow Herodias had insight, already knew something, because it says, and she being before instructed of her mother, her and her mother had already discussed something of this nature before her dance. If I understand the scriptures correctly, you see, a lot of people just read over the Bible and they miss all these truths and all these nuggets. I try to be very careful. You've heard me say it. It's hard for me to read my Bible because I get stuck on a verse dissecting it. And she, being before, instructed of her mother. Now, she may have told Herod, why don't you let Salome come in here today and dance? And if she pleases you in her dance, very wicked, salacious, lewd, lascivious, if she so entertained you, Herod, why don't you give her half of your kingdom? I'm telling you, Satan is a master at plotting and planning. And she, being before instructed of her mother, said, give me here John the Baptist's head in a charger. This was already premeditated. This was already predetermined. She was so bitter and angry and had such hatred toward John the Baptist, a righteous, godly man, she wanted to see him eviscerated in totality. Notice, she instructed. She gave instructions to Salome to tell her how to do this. I don't know how old Salome was. I would dare say she was in her late teens, maybe early 20s. Enough to seduce a man with the spirit of seduction and get what her mother wanted. Her mother used her. Now that shows you how deplorable, how despicable Herodias was. I look at Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton's daughter, how she defends knowing. I mean, Chelsea, she must be deceived too, calling Donald Trump a sexist, a misogynist, when her father was impeached by the Congress for unbecoming conduct. I mean, Do you get the picture? Do you see today the wickedness? God have mercy on Chelsea. Raised in a lying, dishonest, conniving, contriving, adulterous home. And he wants to talk about Donald Trump and his shortfalls when the president of the United States, which was her dad, was impeached by the Congress. No, the Senate didn't ratify, but he was impeached. And she wants to talk about Donald Trump when her dad was such a wicked man. Her mom, such a wicked woman. Her mom lies and says the Benghazi incident was because of a video, but she tells her daughter, no, it was a terrorist attack. These people live in a cesspool of lies. So Herodias instructs Salome, give me here John the Baptist's head in a charger. And the king was sorry, nevertheless, for the oath's sake, and them which sat with him at meat, he granted it to be given her, and he sent and beheaded John in the prison, and his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother. Now, this all happened in just a moment of time. She parades seductively before her stepfather, Herod, to lure him, to seduce him, to connive and to trap him. She gets what her mother instructed her to ask for, knowing somehow what would happen prematurely. And she beheaded, or had him beheaded. Jerome. Jerome was one of the great founding fathers in the 4th century. Great theologian, great historian. He is best known for him translating most of the Bible into Latin, where we have the Latin Vulgate. And his immense commentaries on the Gospels. Now, this is purported history. We don't have scriptures to validate, to authenticate what I'm about to say, but I think it was Flavius Josephus writing in direct, no, I'm wrong. Josephus was before Jerome. But Jerome, it's believed, declared that after Herod had beheaded John the Baptist, brought John's head on a platter, on a charger, gave it to Salome. Salome then took it and gave it to her mother, Herodias, that she was so wicked, she pulled his tongue out and stuck a piece of wood through it, or a needle. She pierced his tongue. Why his tongue? It was his tongue that got him in trouble. That's why I chose for a subject topic today, the problem with telling the truth. Your tongue can tell the truth, or your tongue can tell a lie. Because John the Baptist told such truth, not only after him being beheaded, Herodias had to take it just a little bit further. A little bit further. James 3 and 8 says, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Now, John the Baptist's tongue was a tongue that was tamed. It was not unruly. It was not evil. It was not full of deadly poison, but it was full of the truth. And she pulled his tongue, according to Jerome, from his head. That's all she had was his head. And then she pierced it with a needle or a piece of wood or something. Now that's evil, folks. That is as evil as it gets. But she is trying to destroy the tongue. But John the Baptist's tongue was a godly tongue, and he uttered the truth. You see, regretfully today, most politicians and pulpiteers and preachers are nothing but lying charlatans and will tell you anything you want to hear. I'm not here to tell you what you want to hear. I'm here to tell you the Word of God, and I'm here to tell you the truth. And the problem with telling the truth can get you put in prison, get you beheaded. Galatians 4:16, Paul said, "Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" People get so upset with me when I don't compromise and come over to their whim or their caprice. Just like lately, so many people have been writing me letters and trying to convince me of the flat earth theory. Well, if you can explain Joshua chapter 10 to me, how that the sun and both moon stood still, and God gave Joshua 8 to 10 more hours of sunlight to destroy the Amalekites, and history says that the Aztec Indians in Mexico said there was a bizarre event that happened to them. They had an extra 8 hours of darkness. If you can explain that aberration to me, do so. People say, well, NASA has created these images. Do you have proof that NASA created those images? How is it when I'm in Israel at 5 o'clock in the afternoon trying to get a hold of my wife at 11 o'clock here in the States? It's daylight over there, but she's in bed here. If we are a flat earth theory is true, why isn't it daylight everywhere all the time and then it goes dark? See, this is nonsense. But this is people who attack God and His Word. And they want to tell me I'm naive and stupid and I'm brainwashed. If I remember, the first globe was designed by Martin Benham, a German, in the 14th century. Somebody can correct me there. I want to say 1462, 1467. He was one of the ones, I believe, that refuted the flat earth theory that Columbus would sail off the edge of the earth. This stuff is 600 years old. The globe. Go back and just look under the auspices of a globe. You see, let me tell you, seducing spirits have one intent and one purpose. That's to lie to you. Seducing spirits, their intent, their purpose is to lie to you, folks. And that's the problem in telling the truth. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 8, "For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth." At the end of the day, the truth is still the truth. Let every man be a liar, but let God's word be true. God is true. Men lie. In concluding today, keep praying. Keep seeking God. Keep fasting. Keep bathing your mind and your spirit in God's word. Because the problem with telling the truth is it can get you in trouble. Jesus said, do not fear him that can destroy your body. But you need to fear him that can destroy both soul and body in hell. You'll find that in Matthew 10:28. Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. That's who you fear. After they killed John the Baptist, he went to paradise. He was out of that clay jar, that earthen vessel. He was gone. Never give up in the fight. Never give up in the fight. Keep pressing onward. Strive and contend for the faith that was delivered to the early saints. God bless you. We'll see you Monday in the Lord Jesus Christ.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.